This episode of the Intelligent Rebel Squadcast was brought to you by Black America, Inc., a trillion dollar nation. Black America, Inc. is a piece of literature that details and illustrates the socioeconomic solutions that Black Americans can implement in their communities today. Whether it be being captains of our own industries, creating our own political parties, or just learning to strengthen our overall health and wealth, Black America, Inc. is what Black Americans and Americans in general need to get to the next level in 2017 and beyond. For too many years, we have been talking about the problems and not the solutions. For too many years, we have been pointing fingers at each other without talking about the solutions. This is why Black America, Inc. is important. If you're ready to build yourself up, rebuild your community, head on over to Amazon.com and order a copy of Black America, Inc. today. It's yours.
Whose world is this? The world is yours. The world is yours.
It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Whose world is this? It's mine, whose world is this?
The world is yours, the world is yours.
It's mine,
I sip the dumb peak, watching Gandhi till I'm charged and writing in my book of rhymes. All the words past the margin, the whole of mic I'm throbbing. Mechanical movement, understandable smooth shit that murderers move.
You, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, you intelligent, rebellious people. It is your boy, Doe Dudes, coming live again for another epic episode of Intelligent Rebel Squad Cast. So, episode 19, knowledge of self. Very, very important topic, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't know yourself, if you don't love yourself, you are getting nowhere out here, yo. It's very important. Knowledge of self is one of those schools of knowledge that was taken away from us and hidden from us and even used against us. So it was only right that I had somebody come on the show that can bless us with a treasure trove of gems about knowledge of self and knowing where you came from, knowing symbolism, knowing how to decipher the way we move about this world, connecting parallels from the past and the present and even the future. I had a great friend of mine, a great mind, a genius mind, Tanai, come on the show, host of the Segregationist Papers podcast. Make sure you guys subscribe to that, leave a review, all of those things. This episode is kicking off the health and wellness series, where we're going to be talking about fulfilling, nurturing, and enlightening our mind, body, and spirit. So I felt it was only right to start it off and kick it off with Tanai. And we had an amazing conversation. He told me so many things that I thought I knew, but really didn't know. He told me stuff that I didn't know and educated me. It was an amazing talk, and I'm so happy to bring it to you guys. You dig what I'm saying? Telling you guys off top, there are going to be things that you may disagree with or based upon your formal education have been told differently. But I want you to listen to this episode with an open mind and an open ear, because that's how we progress out here. You dig what I'm saying? So leave all your inhibitions, leave all your preconceived notions at the door, okay? So I'm not going to talk y'all ears off. You already know what you need to do to get ready for this podcast. Roll some, light some, and get ready for the Intelligent Rebel Squad Cast.
Even my brains in handcuffs, headed for Indiana, stabbing women like the Phantom. The crew is lamping Big Willie style. Check the chip to smell. Plus I profile wow, stash through the flock rolls, burning dollars to light my stove. Walk the blocks with a bop. Checking Danes plus the games people play. Bust the problems of the world today.
Yeah, man. Knowledge yourself, yo. Now, when it comes to knowledge yourself, I know a lot of people have different definitions and different renditions of knowledge yourself and all of that. And, you know, you may be right. But one thing that I do know as far as me being honest with myself is that I'm always more so health and wealth minded, meaning that I want to eat plants and I want to make billions of dollars. You know what I'm saying? That's my thing. History is very important. I understand it, as you guys know, with the black rednecks and white liberals. But one thing that is not totally, but somewhat lost on me is ancient history, our real ancestry. You know what I'm saying? Our real ancient knowledge, things that have cultivated civilizations for thousands, if not millions of years. So because I don't know and I wanted to know, and I believe my listeners should know about this stuff, whether you're black, white, or whatever, I got my man Tanai on the line, host of the Segregationist Papers, one of my favorite podcasts, also a label, a network mate, the Greatness Podcast Network. Shout out to my man Christopher Hans. And I got him on the line so we could talk about this this knowledge of self on a real scientific level. You feel me? The man is a scientist. And I'm not going to keep drawing out this intro. Say what up to the people tonight. Let them know.
Yo, what's good, family? How y'all doing out there?
Yes, yes, y'all. So as we do, man, we're going to jump right into it, man. Let's go all the way back, bro. Let's go all the way back, okay? Ancient history itself, man. That's the first on the line. Ancient history itself, man. What can you tell us about the ancients and how they acquired knowledge itself?
Yeah, man. So that's a very, very deep question. I think that when we're taught, you know, about knowledge itself and things like that, a lot of people take it out of context, as they do with many different things. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you have to read, which, you know, reading is like rave for niggas. And it's just like, man, we gotta get off that shit. Like, as far as like not reading or just reading constant negativity, we gotta get away from that. So think about knowledge itself and think about how the information's been filtered. We have to ask ourselves the first question, which is like, why is there an Egyptology? You know, they talk about this in different documentaries, and it's really to keep you from knowing certain things, because if you knew exactly what was going on, then you wouldn't allow yourself to fall for a lot of things that are going on out here. So that's why one of the first inscriptions of when you walk into ancient Kidman is know thyself, because you have to know yourself in order to know everything else, because you are a microcosm of the macrocosm. Like, you are a small part of everything that happens outside. It's written on the walls of Kemet. You go into these different burial chambers. You look at the Medu-Netzer, or, you know, what we call hieroglyphs. They all detail what we are, what we've classically been, and that's, we are cosmic beings. You know, one of the things they talk about is as above, so below. Well, humans are the same, you know, we're the same representation of that. We are the physical manifestation of the universe, because everything mineral-wise that's inside of our bodies is out in the stars. Like, we're literally made of stars. We're made of the minerals that stars burn. So we are cosmic beings, and we are essentially the universe experiencing itself on this plane. I'm actually reading a book right now called Stellar Man that talks about the Earth actually being a reincarnated spirit after several lifetimes of just ascension, higher thinking, higher learning, getting to a higher level. And it's just like, if you really think about that, the things that happen on Earth are the same things that happen inside of us. So we have to realize that there is a connectedness and a oneness for our being as far as knowledge itself and the ancient history itself. And, you know, the people back in the day knew that. That's why they were minimally clothed. They had a lot of sun worship popping. And the divine nature of the sciences and the subjects that they taught in Kemet and also in West Africa, because a lot of people like to leave that out, they give us a profound history of self. And one of the reasons that we can't connect to it today is because we don't know how to read the language. Like, that's the first qualifying step for you learning anything from anybody is that you have to learn the language. You have to be able to speak to them, and you have to be able to understand. So we don't understand classically what's written in the walls of Kemet, as well as what some of the other tribes from West Africa have written and left for us that was detached from us. So we've lost a lot of that, and it's a very rich history and something that we should be proud to reclaim.
Absolutely. That's very important to me. You know, as I was gaining knowledge itself through, you know, Cynetta TV, that was one of my biggest catapults as far as me loving myself, knowing myself, right? And I'm listening to a bunch of speakers, a bunch of men and women who are getting me in touch with my roots, getting me in touch with my soul, getting me in touch with myself.
Right.
You dig what I'm saying? And you know, you said something profound there when it came to the relationship between the earth and our bodies. Now, when we're looking at deforestation, when we're looking at the pollution, when we're looking at, you know, global warming or climate change or however you want to call it,
right,
we see those same types of things going on in our bodies,
right,
in the form
right.
of cancer and other diseases. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying? And you've seen artwork or, you know, art depicting, you know, the earth being sick, the earth having cancer, which would
right.
be, you know, I saw this one cartoon and it was the moon as the doctor, and the earth had like a thermometer in its mouth, and
right.
the moon was like, you have I hate to tell you this, but you have humans. You know what I'm saying? Like humans were, you know, the cancer. You dig what I'm saying? And
so let me stop you right there. It's not that we have humans, it's that we have humans and Neanderthals. Now, that is a very important distinction to make, because even white people have said that. There are white anthropologists that say humans and Neanderthals are two completely different genetic strains. So as far as humans, H-U-E-M-A-N-S, they're very different from Neanderthals, which is why we see right now this disconnectedness and this overall willingness to destroy the earth, because it's not our original nature, and that's not how we work in sync with the earth. But again, the inmates are running the asylum right now, so that's why earth is fucked up.
So let's delve into that a little bit. Let's delve into the Neanderthal versus the human. Now, in a lot of circles, particularly white circles, you know, they like to differentiate, you know, they make fun of us with the we was king shit, you know. And you know, of course, when you have people who are not fully educated or educated at all in a situation, just saying that we were kings and queens, yes, it's very easy for you to make fun of it. But let's really get into the science of this. So Neanderthal and humans, where the difference there? What's the timeline? What's the, you know, genetic makeup there? What's the difference?
So the best way to explain it is, so Dr. Francis Chris Wilson talks about this in the ISIS papers.
Rest in peace to the legend.
Yeah, definitely. I still kick myself for not going to see this lady while she was alive. But she talks about how the original concept of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden was really Africa and African civilization, and the biting of the apple and gaining knowledge was the knowledge of the albino Africans seeing that they're different from the fully melanated Africans. So there are actually quite a few different theories about why the Neanderthals or the melanin deficient humans came about, and everybody knows that albinism is a thing, but what we don't connect all the time is that white people are albinos. Like, we look at it as, oh well, there are albino humans and then there are albino white people. It's like, no, white people are albinos too. That is genetically proven. They have what's called a tyrosinase deficiency. So tyrosine is one of the amino acids that you need to make melanin. And they don't have the enzyme in their skin that polymerizes that reaction. So they don't get the abundance of melanin in their skin. That is a genetic deficiency. So in realizing that genetic deficiency or that genetic default, they're kind of ashamed of it. And also, one part that's not talked about a lot is that it's speculated that, you know, the fully melanated Africans cast them out because they were something different. They were something genetically abnormal, and that feeling of rejection, that feeling of anger, that feeling of shame, when they congregated in these communities outside of Africa, that was what bred that hatred, that coldness, that indifference. Some people say that there were Africans that went exploring, and once they got past, you know, what we call Africa into the Middle East, they were trapped behind an ice wall. And with the ice wall, you know, humans had to retreat into caves. And by having to retreat into caves, they lost their melanin. What's the guy's name? Sheikh Anta Diop. Sheikh Anta Diop talks about the Grimaldi, and I think it's Italy. I could be wrong on the place, but he talks about the Grimaldi, and some people think that the Grimaldi is where those people descended from. That book is called it's around here somewhere. Ancient African Origin of Civilization, I think that's what it's called. It's by Sheikh Anta Diop. He's a French guy. So you have that theory of the splitting of DNA. You have the Francis Crest Wilson theory of splitting of DNA, where you had the original albinos that were in Africa and they were cast out. So yeah, there's a couple different things that go on with that, but the main thing that they're linked under is the loss of melanin. And the melanin is that cosmic substance that connects us to the rest of the universe. I mean, like I said in my podcast, melanin absorbs all forms of energy, and if we're cosmic beings and we can absorb cosmic energy, it only makes sense for us to be the original human beings, because if you're cut off from the rest of the universe by something that everybody else has, then you can't be an original human. Like, that's not saying that, you know, you're bad because of it. That just means that you're genetically defective. That doesn't say anything about your character as a person or what you can ascribe to be, but it will always mean that genetically you will be different from us. You will be different from people that have an abundance of melanin in their skin. People that don't have it, they've essentially lost their cosmic connection, the cosmic energy that we can, because you don't have that melanin in your skin, and that essentially cuts you off from the rest of the universe.
Word, word. So that's very interesting. You know what I'm saying? I knew certain parts of that. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know the whole thing, of course. You know what I'm saying? But when you say melanin in humans, one thing that I learned, or what I was told, is that chlorophyll is basically plants' melanin.
Yes.
Meaning that, you know, they absorb cosmic energy or the universe in the same way that humans do. And I was learning about the albino redwood tree. And the redwood tree is actually one of those huge trees that you see in like California,
right,
and all that other stuff. Right. So what happens is with the albino redwood is that to sustain itself, it needs to latch on to chlorophyll or melanin filled other redwoods to be able to sustain itself. You know what I'm saying? That's the way,
right,
it is able to live. Now, my question to you is that the same thing? Are those albino trees not getting that energy? Are they not absorbing the sun? Are they not absorbing the soil as other redwoods that are filled with chlorophyll or melanin, or however you want to, you know, call it?
That is 10,000% correct. Because chlorophyll essentially is melanin. Like, the chemical structure of chlorophyll is exactly the same as other, as like heme in red blood cells, and the way that our melanin polymerizes. I actually talked about this on Project Rook's podcast. We broke that down a little bit, so if y'all want like a very in-depth discussion on that, go check her podcast out. But chlorophyll and heme, which is in our blood, differ by metal. So chlorophyll has magnesium and heme has iron. So melanin, we make a kind of melanin called eumelanin. So that is a high molecular weight form of melanin, which basically means it's polymerized better. So it's in longer chains. So when it polymerizes, there are little spots that are left. They're like holes, basically. So imagine it looking like a web. And within the web, like spider web, there are, you have the middle of the web, and it's kind of like a hole. Imagine that that's where the metal goes. So in heme, it's iron, and chlorophyll, it's magnesium, and in melanin, it's zinc, Z-I-N-C. That's actually why men, when we ejaculate, we lose three milligrams of zinc, and that's because our genetic information has a lot of melanin in it, so it's taking all that zinc with it. So that's the metal center that's in the middle of melanin, and that is essentially what's going on. It can't absorb that cosmic energy, that sun energy. It can't absorb it to transmute it into other forms of energy, so it has to form a parasitic bond with something else that can do it, and it has to essentially leech that energy away from that organism in order to fulfill its energy needs.
I'm not even, like, listen, this episode is already super lit, so let's just keep it going. So we know this, you know this, you dig what I'm saying? Why, my man, billions of melanated people around the world don't know this? We're going to talk about the dismantling of the knowledge of self, the dismantling, like as you said, the language and all these other things. Let's get into that. Why don't our melanated people in America, parts of Africa, South America, Asia, etc., don't know this information? What happened, man?
Well, so especially in America, there's no incentive. You know, the incentive is business as usual. It is keeping people ignorant, keep them working, you know, mundane 9-to-5s, keep them making somebody else rich, keep them in that victim mindset. When you have people fearful and you have people who are emotionally controlled, they think in patterns of circular logic. And circular logic does not allow you to solve problems, because you get to a question and then you have to ask another question and then ask another question and then ask another question and then ask another question, and you never get to a solution. Where if you're on a frequency of linear thought, there's no fear. You can't be fearful and have a train of linear thought, because linear thought solves problems. Because you have one question and you're like, okay, I'm going to ask this question because I want to get to this end. Where if you're in a circle, you constantly keep going around, where if you're in linear thought, you go on a straight line. And when you go to a straight line, it's going to lead you somewhere. So there is no incentive for the people that essentially have transmuted Egypt's energy into America to keep people educated. And especially if you're the genetic deficient one, you risk being wiped out. You risk your genetics being deleted from the planet if you empower these people that have superior genetics to you. So there is no incentive on a broad scale for the people that, you know, are in control of things right now to teach people this information, because if God knew that he was God, he wouldn't be a victim. You can't victimize God. God is almighty. Like, God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. You cannot victimize God. So you, in order for you to chain him, you have to make him think he's something else. You have to make him think he's less than God. You have to make him think that he can't get to that. He or she can't get to that level. That level is not for you. That is only for us. So that's how you essentially dismantle the knowledge of self. You have to wipe the brain computer clean. You know, it's just like if you get, so let's say you're buying a secondhand computer and you don't like the program that's on there, or it's better than what you have. Well, if you don't want to be overtaken, you got to take everything off the hard drive and you put your program in. You know what I'm saying? So when we were, you know, sold into slavery and all those things, and, you know, Arab slave trade, African slave trade, all of that, we had to be reprogrammed. And also when, you know, missionaries came in Africa, what's the guy's name? Chinua Achebe writes in Things Fall Apart, When Things Fall Apart, when just talking about the white missionaries, and it was like when the white people came there, they had the Bibles, we had the land. But when they left, we had the Bibles and they had the land. So they essentially wiped our brains clean, cut off any connection that we had to our original native tongues, our original language, our original customs, our original morals, our original thoughts, all of that. Anything that made us unique from them, they cut us off from it and they reprogrammed us in an image that they wanted. So people have to remember that during the slave trade, they didn't take slaves. They took mothers, they took brothers, they took fathers, they took scientists, they took astronomers, they took doctors, they took priests. They didn't take slaves. They took people that were educated, that had a very rich history, and knew what they were. And when they got here, they turned them into something else. And that's the only way that you can chain God. You have to make God think it's something else in order for it to be a victim. So people know about these things and what we're associated with, and you know, the innate greatness that lies inside of us. Because you got to think about it. If they didn't know, they wouldn't have to put so much shit in our way to stop us. You know, people talk about white supremacy, and you know, it is what it is at this point in all the suppression talk. But the fact that they even have to put these obstacles in front of you, that lets you know that they know something that you don't, and they're not telling you. Anything that happens in American society, or anything that you've been taught, if it's different from you, that's what you should be learning about. Like, you can't tell me that the average person in the 12 to 20 years of school they had has learned one thing about melanin. Even in top tier research institutes, they don't focus on that. They focus on all this cancer bullshit, which is mostly lifestyle related. And it's just like, because it's big business, you know? And there's no incentive to teach you what it is they know about you, but they know about you. They know what you are. I'll give you a perfect example. So I went to the American Natural History Museum up in DC. This was like 2 or 3 years ago. And I was looking in there was one of the innovation exhibits that was talking about electricity. And they had this picture. I actually took a picture of it and put it on Instagram, because this is when I was like heavy into like my knowledge of self studies. They had a picture of Thomas Edison. So Thomas Edison has like a wizard robe on, and it's got all these stars on it. And one of them is a crescent moon. So he's got a crown on, he's got like a little hat on that has a crescent moon. He's got the robe on, it's got stars and shit on it. And there's one hand that's pointing up, and there's one hand that's pointing down. And I'm like, dude, that's the fucking Baphomet. Like, that is exactly what the Baphomet is. But this is how they fuck with you. They tell you that the Baphomet is evil because, you know, it's this unisex goat god or whatever. All it's telling you is as above, so below. That's why you got one hand pointing up, you got one hand pointing down. That's all Egyptian shit. Even the Star of David. The Star of David is two pyramids. That shit ain't Jewish. That's Kemetic. That's one triangle or one pyramid pointing up, and that's one pyramid or triangle pointing down, as above, so below. These people know about this shit. And they know about the energy that you can get from tapping into these ancient systems and these ancient arts and sciences. They know about it. That's how they run shit now. But they keep you out of it because you are the real progenitors of this shit. You are the ones that really know how to use it. And if you really knew like how connected you were to this stuff, there's no way that you would ever be a victim to anybody. So they have to keep you locked down, and they have to keep you away from this information because it's your information. And you got the people on the planet that's less good at using it, and they still running shit. So that should tell you that if you were the people that it was originally intended for, think about how much power you would wield if you started doing the same things they did.
Yo! Listen! Are y'all listening? I hope y'all listening, man. I'm not even going to keep gassing. So, while we still on this subject, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel empowered. I feel like a god right now. I'm going to let everybody know that Tanai got me out here feeling like I can move objects with my mind. You feel me? So what are some methods, man? How did they, because we know slavery, you know what I'm saying? We know miseducation. Let's talk about some methods of miseducation. Because, you know, a lot of people think Hotep is a bunch of black, you know, self-hating niggas who praise the white man and all of that. You know what I'm saying? So let's get into the truth about miseducation methods in the world throughout history. Let's go.
Oh man, so first and foremost, gotta start, and this is what I think, this is me personally. I think that you have to start with the book, The Miseducation of the Negro by our brother Carter G. Woodson. I think that that is the jump off point for any person that is trying to reclaim themselves, reclaim their knowledge, because we have to face facts that the average, you know, black person, African American, melanoid person, melanated person that lives in Western society, we have been given a white point of view. We have been given a European point of view, which means that we don't see things from an African-centered perspective. And that, you know, that ruins our perspective, and it's something that's not native to us. And then we wonder why these things don't work. So I think that's the jump-off point, because he talks about a lot of things, especially with the quote-unquote educated Negro. And, like, the educated Negro is the worst, because they've been indoctrinated so heavy with white points of view, white science, white ways of doing things that they look down on black people. Those, like, you see a lot of these people from these organizations, you know, like, and I'm not going to generalize everybody, but, or say that everybody that's a part of these groups does this, but a large part, you know, like people like Boulé and like Jack and Jill and all that shit, they have been heavily, heavily influenced by white culture and white society. And these are basically the gatekeepers. These are the gatekeepers to, you know, the real elites and the real people that be running shit. So they got to have those watchdogs. And Carter G. Woodson kind of talks about that. He talks about how that the more you get indoctrinated into this system of education, the more disconnected you are from everything that makes you black, that makes you a black person, that connects you with your heritage. You get more and more disconnected from it. So we have to realize, A, that under a system of white supremacy, and not in the sense of oppression or, oh, I'm so oppressed, you know, motherfuckers be on Twitter hollering about the oppression shit. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about people that control media narratives, people that control propaganda. Like, I was sitting on my couch one day, and I was just watching a commercial, and it just dawned on me one day. I was like, God damn, there's no black people in these commercials. And, like, even that shows what is around us and the kind of point of view that we have, that, like, the average person isn't going to recognize that because you've been so locked into it for your whole entire life. That's just normal. But when you separate yourself and say, that's not me, and then you start to understand that we aren't what we see on TV, then that's when some of those gears start turning. And it's just like, okay, I'm in the system. I'm in a system that caters to the people that are running it specifically, good, bad, right, or wrong. I have to understand that I have been taken out of my natural habitat, and I have been displaced from what makes me whole. And, you know, that's not saying that everybody came or that everybody that was enslaved was from Africa, because some of the people were already here. That's just to say that when the original slave trade started, we were disconnected from those things that made us whole, and specifically in slavery. So the thing about slavery is that slavery itself was not what disconnected us. There was a whole debasing process that went on. So I'll speak specifically on American chattel slavery. So a lot of people, when they talk about slavery and they talk about American chattel slavery specifically, they leave out the dehumanization process. And, you know, people say, oh, well, everybody else owns slaves, they're white slaves, indentured servants. It's like, okay, that's cool, but show me the evidence where the debasing process and the psychological destruction was the same. Because from a lot of the stuff that I study, I haven't seen, outside of the Arab slave trade and the transatlantic slave trade, I have not seen the kind of physical, mental, and spiritual assault that Africans faced in chattel slavery. Like, the pure just hate and degenerate things that they did to us was just was crazy. You know, like, you know, everybody knows about the breeding farms. So they had breeding farms up in like the New York area, where they would have slaves that would breed with each other. And this isn't just, you know, slaves that didn't know each other. This was like sons, you know, being forced to rape their mothers, being forced to rape their sisters. Like, that fucks with you psychologically. You know what I'm saying? Like, people feel a certain way after they go out here and fuck one of these hood rats. Like, damn, you know, I just get this shit pregnant. What the fuck, you know? So it's like, if that'll fuck with you on a level from somebody that you don't know, imagine what it's like when somebody from your family, like, forced incest. Like, that is some deep, deep trauma. Not only that, you were cut off from, you were cut off from your classical diet. Even though, I will say, that as a whole, everybody only thinks that slaves ate, like, pig entrails and shit like that. Yo, slaves had a greater nutrient diversity now than Americans do. They ate greens, they ate fruits, they ate vegetables, you know what I'm saying? But people only focus on, like, oh, you see chitlins and all that shit. Yeah, that shit is true, but the nutrient range was better. So overall, slaves were in better health than a lot of us are now, if we're gonna keep it 110. But the debasing process was a physical assault, it was a mental assault, it was a spiritual assault. So as a whole, we've kind of overcome the physical assault. The thing that keeps us chained is the mental and the spiritual assault, because we still got people believing in white Jesus, which is fucking madness, and we still got people that don't believe in things like the law of attraction, or, you know, your thoughts manifesting into reality. Or they haven't gotten over those traumatic issues, like specifically, let's say, with like the black man and the black woman. They talk about how, you know, we always see this on the timeline. We're always bickering with each other about some dumb shit. And it's just like, we don't realize that that was propagated in slavery, where they would intentionally demasculate the man. Either they would rape him in front of the other slaves, or they would tar and feather him and separate him in front of the slaves. That was in the Willie Lynch letter. Regardless of whether that shit is true or not, it's still playing out today. So miss me with the Willie Lynch letter. It ain't true shit. I don't want to hear it, because all that stuff is still happening right now. But the mental assault and the mental trauma has still propagated through our bloodline. And that's why a lot of people cry oppression. Because physically and, you know, resource-wise, you may not be oppressed, but in your mind, you are. Because you're still trapped in that transgenerational trauma that's propagated through your bloodline, and you can't shake it because you don't know how to. And part of the reason you don't know how to is because you think you're white. You identify with the slave master, and you don't identify with the slave. Part of the reason that that's true is because of the way that the society has been set up. We've been extremely westernized. Western means white in the grand scheme of things.
Yo, hold up, though, because I got to give it up to that. I'm going to keep it all the way 100. I was born in America in 1989, bro. Mm-hmm. I'm enterprising. You feel me? So right. When I'm reading Thomas Sowell, when I'm listening to history, all I'm looking at it as is the economic standpoint, meaning that right. A business owner has slaves, he's going to make money off the slaves. Now, of course, right. I have to acknowledge, like, all of the stuff that you were saying, the debasing and all of that. But you know me, as far as Doe Dubs is concerned, I'm not saying that it's right or wrong, but I'm about the mugger. I'm about getting the chips, you feel me?
Right.
So I'm always, like you said, like, I'm not going to say that I think that I'm white, but I am. I did grow up in this system, meaning that if you have 100... you know what I'm saying, items of something, and they produce $1 worth of work, that's $100 a day of money, you know what I'm saying, that you're going to get off of your property, whether it's humans, animals, inanimate objects, or whatever. I'm not saying that it's right. It's just that for me, I know I had to separate myself from the slave. I'm not going front, bro. I'm not going front. Like, even today that we're recording this, it was a picture of a segregated bus. Black women, particularly in the back, while white men and women were in the front. And, yo, my first reaction wasn't like, damn, this system is so fucked up. My whole shit is like, yo, how the fuck y'all let y'all woman sit in the back of the bus like that?
Exactly.
That's how I'm looking at it as, because, like, you know, as a Western or what, or just as a man, period, I'm like, I wouldn't let my wife do that shit. You know what I'm saying? And I try not to associate myself with all of that trauma and stuff, because, first of all, my own personal trauma that I grew up in, You know what I'm saying? And then secondly, I'm all about these solutions. So I can't be crying all day, man. I got a wife and two daughters, dog. I can't be rehashing a bunch of trauma and hurt or whatever. I'm going to have to deal with that when I got time to. But right now, I got to get this bread. I got to provide. I got to protect. So, yeah, man, I just wanted to say that just to, you know, not defend myself, but just to show you that, you know, you're right, man, that I definitely do not associate myself or relate to the slave anymore, man. I don't.
Right. Right. No, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I mean relating to the slave, not in the victimhood sense. I don't mean it like that. I don't mean it's like, oh, you got to keep crying depression. Oh, you got to keep crying. And like, oh, I'm a victim. Woe is me. Blah, 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 blah. But we have to acknowledge things that happen to us so that we can self-correct and find those solutions. So in your own way, you have kind of accepted that, hey, this is something that happened to me. How do I fix it? And that's the thought process that we need to get to, is that, okay, all these things happen to us, and that's all well and good, but how do we fix it? And the first step in any road to recovery is you have to accept what's going on. You can't deny what happened to you, because denying only pushes it to the back, but you still have to deal with it at some point. But when you accept that, hey, this is something that happened to me, your brain automatically starts trying to find solutions. Your brain is a self-correcting thing. It always wants to find the way to keep you away from bullshit. It wants to find solutions. So when you put it in a frame of context where, oh, okay, this happened to me. How do I keep this from happening again? It's exactly what you described. It's like, how are you letting your women be on this bus? Like, why do you want so much equality with these people who really, you know, they're not built like you? Why do you keep seeking equality from them? It's because you think you're them. And that's the thing that I have a problem with, as far as like all this crying and shit that people be doing. It's just like, yo, if you start to see yourself as different from what is in society, then you'll start finding those solutions. And that's not a good, bad, right or wrong thing. It just is what it is. We are different. It's okay to be different. We're not homogenized. We are all different people. We all come from different walks of life. We all have different experiences that have brought us to a certain point. So I think that, you know, when you say you don't want to identify with the slave, I think that's actually a good thing, because you've understood that, okay, these things are bad, and if I continue to focus on the bad things, then I'm never going to get to a point where I can do for myself. And that's the part where you can say that you overcome the victim mentality, but you also understood what happened to you previously. And so your brain has now self-corrected to find solutions, and you found those solutions, which, you know, we should all find the solution in economic empowerment. We talk about it all day. We talk about it all night. This is the key, economic empowerment. We empower ourselves economically. Then we ain't got to worry about a lot of shit coming from other communities. So in that vein, I absolutely think that you're correct.
Cool. I just, because, you know, it does come to a point to where you have to basically choose sides. You know what I'm saying? Are you going to be authentically black in an American sense, meaning that you got to talk about Jim Crow, slavery, oppression, racism, et cetera, et cetera? Or you going to be a sellout coon where all you want to do is enterprise, you fuck with capitalism, and, you know, all of this other bullshit? You know what I'm saying? So I just had to let people know that, yes, man, I'm a black man. I'm proud of my people. I'm proud of my lineage. I'm proud of all of that stuff. I do not celebrate slavery from anybody onto anybody, but at the end of the day, it's 2017, and I got to take care of my family. Now,
there you go. There you go. Yeah, no, I totally feel you on that. I'm totally with you on that, too.
Absolutely, man. So moving forward, we've been talking about knowledge itself and, you know, even the lack thereof. You know what I'm saying? So how does that determine your life, though? You know what I'm saying? We touched on it, the oppression talk and all that other stuff, but how else does that manifest in society? I'll give you an example. So the episode that we just came off of is 18-5, which is Black Rednecks and White Liberals Part 3. And in that episode, I was talking about the welfare state. You dig what I'm saying? And how that basically destroyed our communities from the inside out. You dig what I'm saying? Mothers and fathers were at each other's throats more than ever. Children were having you know, just horrible education, minimum wage, stopped a lot of employment for the youth. You dig what I'm saying? Because stores just couldn't afford to, you know, hire these kids and stuff like that.
Right.
I feel like that welfare state was because of the lack of knowledge itself. The fact that people in this community, the black community overall, just did not know that they were kings and queens, or that they were that they do have the power to manifest all of the riches, all of the prosperity, all of the unity that we always yearn for. And because of that, we had this government step in and tell us what we needed. You dig what I'm saying? So that's just one example in my mind. But, you know, how is knowledge itself, or the lack thereof, you know, determine your life?
So let's stay on the welfare state. So the welfare state is something that, you know, there are parallels between it and slavery. And it's just, you know, I tweeted this out the other day. I was like, slavery and the welfare state are the same place from the same playbook. You destabilize the, you take the male out, and they did that in slavery by emasculating him, you know, rape, you know, beating him up in front of the other slaves. Then you make the female dependent on the slave master. So when they're dependent on the slave master, they teach the further generations to do the same thing. Now, let's look at the welfare state. The welfare state says, hey, we're going to give you these benefits for keeping a man out of the home. Same thing they did in slavery. Then, when you come to us for these benefits, now your kids are on these benefits. So now you've taught your female children to go along with the same ideology and make them be strong and independent, which is, this is the only community that talks about women being strong and independent. You don't see that in any other community. And then you've taught the male to be fearful of any kind of authority. All right, because you don't want them to be victimized by the state. So now you have this clash between the black female and the black male because of things and principles that were propagated through slavery and now just been reworked, renamed into something else, and you still see the same clashes today. So when you know about yourself and you realize that there's a divine connection in the nuclear family, nuclear family is not European. I see this shit all the time on social media. The European mindset had nothing to do with the nuclear family. That is all Kemetic. That is all Egyptian. That is all black folks. If you don't believe me, go to the origin story of black people. We talk about Asar, Aset, and Heru. And when all is said and done, after Heru defeats Set, which was Aset's brother, or Asar's brother, and killed him, Heru defeats Set, and once he defeats Set, Asar is resurrected, and he becomes the lord of the cosmos. Heru becomes lord of the earth, and Isis or Aset becomes the divine principle on the planet. So Europeans tell you it's Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Egyptians tell you it's Mother, Father, Child. Nuclear family is all us. So if you know that, then you don't subscribe to this stuff that people like Black Lives Matter try to put out, saying that, oh, the nuclear family is, we're going to dismantle the traditional Western nuclear family. That's not traditional Western. They got that shit from us. It's written all through all the things that we see in history. And if you have that knowledge yourself, then you would know that. Let me tell you something. The average person that is here now, even in the smartphone age, does not know the amount of stuff that even, like, let's just say Egyptian priests, when you talk about the mystery schools in ancient Egypt, or Kemet, however you want to say it, let's talk about the curriculum. So when you were initiated into the priesthood, so there were 7 liberal arts. It was grammar, math, rhetoric, dialect, geometry, astronomy, and music. All right, that was just base. You just had to know that to even be initiated into the priesthood, all right? Then there was this collection of books called the Books of Hermes. So there's 42 books total. So you had to know 2 books that dealt with music. You had to know 4 books that dealt with astronomy. And I'm talking about know from memory, had to memorize, had to be able to repeat this shit on command. Like, you had to know without any assistance, all right? So you had to know about astronomy. You had to know about cosmography, geography, astronomy, the topography of Egypt. You had to know how to, like, slaughter animals correctly for different sacrifices. you had to know God theology, you had to know medicine, so you had to know physiology, you had to know any kind of disease that had already propagated, you had to know anatomy, you had to know drugs, you had to know instruments, you had to know the science of the monuments. Even like those monuments that they put out in DC, like, you know, the Washington Monument's a big ass obelisk, right? So you had to know the science behind that. You had to know the science behind pyramids, temples, libraries, idols, architecture, masonry, carpentry. You had to know so much shit just to even be a part of this echelon of Egypt. That's like the average person, you can't get them to read a damn book. It's like, bruh, like, do you not understand, like, how much you are missing out on by the fact that you are too lazy to reclaim your knowledge? And the thing is that if you reclaim it, you're not going to be a victim no more. Like, if you reclaim that mindset, you will not allow yourself to be victimized. Even when we talk about, lack of knowledge of self, most people don't even know that the Ten Commandments comes from the 42 negative confessions, or you can call them the laws of Maat, whatever. All that stuff, if you begin to look at things from an African-centered perspective versus a European-centered perspective, you will start to reclaim things, and you will start to naturally know things that you used to know. Everything that we know, everything that we've lived from a past life, it's encoded in our DNA. That's why we have shit like transgenerational trauma. That stuff propagates throughout our bloodline. It's there. You just have to stop being lazy. You have to go out there and seek. You have to go out there and ask. You have to beat the mental programming that you've been given to not question things. You must question everything. And when you question everything, you will learn so much more than you even thought that you knew. Hell, I don't know shit. Like, I know it sounds like I know a lot about this stuff. I have just begun to scratch the surface of all this stuff. I'll be the first person to tell you, I don't really know shit. Everybody asks me tonight, how do you know this? Like, dude, I don't really know a lot in the grand scheme of things. There's still a lot of stuff that I'm missing on, but I do know that if you connect to the simple things, the things that they don't tell you that are blatantly hidden in sight, you're going to learn so much. And when you connect to that knowledge of self, it enables you to get an economic base. Like I talked about that in my melanin podcast. Just eating right and nurturing your melanin automatically corrects you to wanting to build an economic base. Like you said, you went plant-based. Now what else are you talking about? You're talking about economics. Like, just a simple change from that small gain of knowledge of self just sets you on a totally different course. You're out of the victim mindset. You're out of that oppression, woe is me talk. You're out of that we shall overcome, marching, bullshitting, protesting, not really doing anything talk. Just a small change from knowledge of self gave you that. You get back on your military hustle. You get back on your language hustle. You get back on your math hustle. Like, everything that you need to really elevate yourself and elevate your people all comes from knowledge of self. You got to start somewhere. I'm not saying that you got to know everything about Kemet tomorrow, but the small things that you should know about melanin, because we're the most melanin rich beings on the planet. You should know what it does, and you should know why you have to treat it a certain way and what it corresponds to. That's like at the very, very least. And, you know, we have knowledge of that. So, perfect example. So, I was reading about this town called Kinloch, Missouri. So, Kinloch was one of the first towns that was established by black people after slavery up in Missouri. And, you know, people like Dick Gregory lived there. Like, I was like, shit. Like, Dick Gregory just be everywhere.
I'm about to walk out the room. I gotta go somewhere. But just finish your story. I'll be back in like 30 seconds.
Okay. So Dick Gregory even lived in Kinloch for a little bit. So Kinloch, first black town that was erected in Missouri, and they had all black everything. Black schools, black police, black board, black education system, black businesses, everything. All black everything. Now, Kinloch was actually a suburb of, I think it was St. Louis. So some people came in and they bought them out and they started constructing an airport that never finished being built. So they always do that. They come in, they infiltrate the community, they water down the economy, and then they disperse everybody. So guess where everybody went to? Ferguson. Now, when you talk about Ferguson, we talk about the Mike Brown situation. Everybody was like, yo, like, this isn't going to fly in St. Louis. Like, people are going to turn up. Guess what else is next to Ferguson and Kinlock? The Cahokia Mounds. The Cahokia Mounds are one of the biggest, or one of the most well-known pyramid structures in the Western Hemisphere. People know, especially Black people, we have a very instinctual, a very broad knowledge and just an intuitive knowledge of what's around us. And it's not a coincidence that you had one prosperous Black town, and then you have another town where, just like a couple seconds over, there were Black people funneled into, and they're both around a pyramid. That's not a fucking coincidence. There is no coincidence that the energy, they even tell you if you go visit the St. Louis area, the Black people there just seem to act differently. It's because they draw on that energy from the pyramid that's nearby. We have knowledge of this stuff, we just don't know it. And when we know it, then we can start tapping back into some of this stuff that's naturally going to help us and naturally going to put us in the position.
Wow, dog. That's... I did not know that. I did not know any of that, man. So... that's crazy. And wow. I'm blown away, dog. Like, honestly, I'm not even fronting on you. Like, I'm speechless. You know what I'm saying? the only thing I can do right now, bro, is just segue into the next question. So, when we're talking about energy, when we're talking about masses of people, you know, feeling something and knowing something and just not really knowing it, you know what I'm saying? I feel like that delves into spirituality. You know what I'm saying? And I understand that religion has taken over. You know, people have taught me that Christianity was beaten to slaves. Same thing as Islam. And then I also hear that there were Ethiopians practicing Christianity way before slavery and all of that other stuff. Let's get into the origins of all of that. And the origins from what I've been told and what I've been taught is that it's all based in African spirituality, right? So let's talk about African spirituality. You know what I'm saying? We touched on it a little bit earlier, but let's delve into that and the importance of having that spirituality amongst melanated people as opposed to Christianity, you know, Islam, et cetera, et cetera.
So the thing about spirituality is that you need to master your physical self to tap into your spiritual self. And, you know, Christianity and Islam, fundamentally, as principles, aren't wrong. They are just separated concepts. Now, when I say they're separated concepts, let's go to Freemasonry for a little bit. So, when we talk about Freemasonry and divine mathematics, and this is, again, how you know that the elites know what's going on. So, if you talk about the dollar bill, you know what? I'm finna pull a dollar out here somewhere. Anyway, so let's talk about the dollar bill for a minute. If you got a dollar bill that's nearby, if you listening, pull it out, because we're gonna go through some of the symbols.
I'm about to pull a dollar out right now.
We about to break down some of the symbolism that's in the dollar bill. All right, because everybody be talking about this 9/11 shit. I ain't even talking about all that. The dollar bill goes deep. So if we look at the dollar bill itself, all right, it's a rectangle. So the rectangle is an oblong square, right? So square has four corners. So when you talk about the dollar bill itself, it actually has eight corners because you have a front and a back, right? That's the Islamic prayer rug. So when you talk about Islam and you talk about Christianity in the sense of the dollar bill, you got a pyramid. And you got the bird, you got the eagle, right? So the pyramid is base four, right? Because the base of the pyramid is a square, has four corners, right? So four represents, and the pyramid is on the earth. So that represents the material nature of man, right? So when you go look at the bird is on the other side. So when you think about birds, birds can fly. So birds are they're symbolic of spirituality because they're not connected to the earth. Right? So that's the representative of the number five. So four plus five always equals nine. So when you look at The double eagle. So there's one part on there where it's the double eagle, where there's one part looking to the east and there's one part looking to the west. So that's the west represents the material nature of man, and the east represents the spiritual nature of man. All right. So we can think about this from the Bible. There was one passage that said Jesus gave up the ghost in the ninth hour, right? So in the ninth hour and the ghost, so 9 minus 5, because the ghost is the spiritual, that equals 4. So that tells you that the Bible is the book for material living on this plane. That's mastering your physical self. The Bible helps you master your physical self. The Quran helps you master your spiritual self, right? So even in, what's the guy's name? Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad. They said that the Prophet Muhammad ascended to heaven with 5 ayats, or 5 prayers. So ascension is spiritual, so that's associated with 5. That's even put into, what's that painting? The Vitruvian Man. So the Vitruvian Man that Leonardo da Vinci painted, that represents 4 and 5, because you have the man that is inside of the circle that is in the form of a cross. So that's 4 points of contact. That's again talking about the Bible. Then you have the man with the legs spread out, where it's 5 points of contact. And when you look at the 5 points of contact, it's arm, leg, leg, arm, head, which corresponds to Allah. And Allah is the God in Islam, which again denotes spirituality. Let's take it a step further. So let's look at the dollar bill again with the pyramid. So if you look at the pyramid and you look at how the light from the capstone, so people talk about this being the eye of Lucifer and shit. That shit ain't true. That again represents how your spiritual nature or your third eye is disconnected from your material nature, which is the pyramid, which is the base. So it's missing stones in it, and that's the part that you have to master so that you can complete the capstone. But if you look at the light and the way it shines in the pyramid, it's shining from the back. So look at the pyramid.
I'm looking.
If you look to the left, there's a shadow that's on the pyramid, and it's going down and it's going to the front. Now, tell me how, if the light is coming from that direction, it's casting a shadow like that. Now, there's no way with the light shining that way that you can make a shadow like that. Turn the dollar bill upside down. Okay. Now look at the shadow. What does it look like? So it looks like, so if you look at the shadow,
it looks like a seven.
It's a 7, right? So if you think about divine mathematics, if four is the physical and 3 is the number of mastery, 7 is mastering the physical self. So if you master the physical self, you complete the capstone and you ascend to your spiritual being.
Yo, this is crazy.
So we have to master, you have to master the physical self before you get in touch with the higher self. That's even with what they call the Sphinx, right? Which is not really the Sphinx. That is from a Greek point of view. It's really called Heru Imaket, which means Heru on the horizon. And it has the face of an Egyptian pharaoh, but it has the body of a lion. So the lion body is reclining, and you have the human face there. So there was the riddle of the Sphinx. The riddle of the Sphinx goes, what walks on 4 legs in the morning, 2 legs in the, I think it's 2 legs in the afternoon, and 3 legs at night? And the answer is man, because when you're born a baby, you're on all 4, so that's 4 legs. Which also means, again, you're tethered to the earth. Then you go to man, which you stand upright, and now you're on 2 feet. Then you go to an old man. Old man walks with a cane. Now, the cane in masonry is synonymous with knowledge. It's synonymous with, excuse me, is synonymous with wisdom, right? So the man, when he crouches over with the cane, has learned spiritual knowledge, spiritual wisdom. So if you take 2 + 3, 2 + 3 = 5, right? So if we go from baby to old man, baby is 4, old man and young man is 5. So 4 + 2 + 3 = 9, and 9 again is 4 + 5, which again means the physical self and spiritual self. Now, let's take that to Shriners. So everybody knows or has heard about Shriners, Shriner Hospitals. Let me get the exact name for them.
I have a Shriner Hospital literally behind my crib.
Yeah. So the Shriners, let me see what the exact name is, because they have a full name. It is the Ancient... I think it's the Ancient... here we go. The Ancient Arabic Order of the Noble of the Mystic Shrine. That's what Shriners are called. That's the white group of it. So the African-American group is called the Ancient Egyptian Arabic Order of the Nobles of the Mystic Shrine. All right? So, fun fact about these people. You cannot be a Shriner unless you are a 32nd degree Freemason. All right? So everybody knows about the different degrees of Freemasonry. Some people don't ascend past 3. Some people talk about Masonry as, when they talk about Scottish Rite, York Rite, talk about Albert Pike, Manly P. Hall, those people. That's all Egyptian mystery science. That's all Egyptian Masonry. But most people don't talk about the degrees beyond 3. So it actually goes up to 32. Some people speculate it goes up to 33. So you cannot be a Shriner unless you are a 32nd degree Freemason. Now, if you go into a Shriner temple, when they begin to greet you and you begin to be a part of that lodge, when you go up to speak, they have an altar. And on the altar, there is a square and a compass. All right. So the square, again, represents 4. The compass represents 5, because you can draw a circle with the compass. These are the builder's tools of the Mason, right? As you ascend in that lodge, when you get to higher degrees of status in that lodge, they replace the compass and the square. Guess what they replace them with? The Bible and the Quran. So these people know that you need both of these books to live a righteous life. You have to master your physical as well as mastering your spiritual, and they're both contained in different books. Even if you look at the root word of denomination, D means separate, know me, N-O-M-I means nature or origin, and let's see, they know me, nation, so separate, so know me means name, sorry I messed that up, so day means separate, know me means name, nature can mean group or origin. So denomination literally means separate name from origin. So all of these different denominations are actually separating you from the original origin of things, which is why all this information is hidden in different books. Even in Egypt, the hieroglyphs and the symbols, all of those things have numbers attached to them. That's how they hid stuff. That's how they hid this knowledge on the walls of Kemet, because only the people that could really decipher what was there, they knew that not only did it had a graphical interpretation, it also had a numerical interpretation, which is why you have numbers connected to so many things. And people talk about numbers being a living spiritual thing. So that's like a short thing about Freemasonry and how that's connected to Egypt. If you want to take it a step further, you can talk about systems like Voodoo. You have offshoots of that, like Santeria. You also have people that talk about Orishas. Orishas are different spirits that people conjured up in Africa. Some of them are good, some of them are evil, quote unquote evil. So the African spiritual system is really deep, and there's a lot of mastery that goes on. You have to be masters of this, which means you have to study, you have to have discipline, you have to have focus in order to reach these higher heights and these higher levels. So spirituality is, it's a very broad thing, but if you come back into the base principles, you see them in all the different religions, because they're all interconnected. But the only reason that we have denominations, that we have religious denominations to begin with, is to keep people splintered from the true knowledge of things and not realize that everything is connected. Splintering is a European point of view. Like, they always separate down to the part. We always look at things as a whole, which is why we have to combine all these things, because they all work holistically.
That's deep. And I guess in my mind, I just felt like these were things that weren't created by our people. And I guess I'm wrong about that. You know what I'm saying? I'm wrong about saying that, you know, Christianity was created by a white dude to subjugate black people or whatever. Because, you know, I guess in my mind, I'm just like, religion is not spirituality. And spirituality is not, you can have spirituality inside religion, but it's hard for you to have religion inside spirituality. And I guess you're just off on that. You know what I'm saying? Because I really don't have a strong, you know, knowledge of those types of things.
I wouldn't say that you're off. I do think that in the way that you describe it, that, you know, religion does kind of detract from the message. And that's because we think about them as parts. And we think about that part by itself being correct. And if you think about, oh, well, this part links to this part, links to this part, links to this part. In that aspect, there's nothing wrong with religion. Religion is wrong when they force you to subscribe to one specific ideology and say, hey, this is the way to get to White Sky Daddy. That's when religion is that is when religion is bullshit. When they tell you, like, this is the only way that you can get to salvation, that's bullshit. But if you're just looking at it and saying, oh, okay, well, the Bible tells me this about this, and this kind of links to the Quran and this. So that's why if you're fundamentally one thing, you're not getting everything that you need. Like, there's other forms of information out there, and it was hidden in some ways intentionally. And it was only hidden to people that qualified themselves for it.
And I think that's where I'm at with it, where it's just like, what's it called, monotheism or whatever?
Right,
where
right.
I grew up Christian, so you know what I'm saying? I'm getting this knowledge itself, so I'm like, well, yeah, Christianity was a lie, so I'm not going to listen to that, I'm not going to read that, Islam was a lie, I'm not going to read that, you know what I'm saying? It is clearly, like, in my mind, I'm like, there's this one huge tablet in Africa where all African people read from, and white people took it and then remixed it, and that's where we get Christianity and Islam, because I guess that's just my monotheism. Like, I want it to just be this one school, you know what I'm saying, to where all of these benevolent, melanated people created and practiced, and we lived in perfect harmony and all that other stuff, and then here comes Neanderthal or the European or whatever, and totally messes it up. But clearly, that's just not how history rocks.
Right. And to a certain extent, you know, if you look at Christianity, you know, you have to ask yourself, like, why do people only use the King James Version when there are, like, 10, 15 different versions to the Bible? And that's not even the one that everybody across the world uses as a whole, you know? So in that aspect, yeah, religion is trash. But if you were to look at the true meaning of things and realize that everything is connected, like, in that aspect, I don't have a problem with religion. I have a problem with religion when the information is filtered and propagandized as it is as a whole in America. I have a problem with that.
Alright, cool. So now that I got a better understanding, I may not shun the Bible verses that I see retweeted on my timeline and all that. You know what I'm saying? I might actually start reading them. Because, like, my wife, I told you, like, she's big into the metaphysics. She's big into the cosmos. And a lot of the YouTube videos that we watch, they'll have, like, quotes from the Bible. Like, I've noticed that there's a lot of white, evangelical, woke-ass people on YouTube, bro, who uses the Bible to really try to uncover secrets or try to learn some real shit that's just not on the paper. They try to, you know, correlate it with what's going on in the real world. So I can honestly respect that. But it's me personally, I was just like, yeah, I'm not reading the Bible no more. Like, yeah. The way I was introduced to the church, it was totally contradictory, bro. Like, the same people on the pulpit talking about don't do this, don't do that, are literally doing it after church. You feel me?
So exactly. It's like,
it just totally threw, you know, took me away from it. And I think that just goes back to what you were saying as far as, you know, being demoralized, to where it's like, yo, man, it's too confusing, it's too overwhelming, I don't want nothing to do with it. And here comes these people after we drop it on the ground because they've, you know, remixed it or just convoluted it too much to where it's like, yo, I don't even want to hear from you. They pick it up and understand, like, nah, I can decipher all of the bullshit out of this. You was a kid, so you couldn't. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I did want to touch into that, though, before I let you go, because, like, it's so many things that I know my listeners and me want to know. So I do have one of the things that I wanted to ask you is the different schools of knowledge, the different schools of knowledge of self, the different schools of spirituality. You started to list a few, but let's just go through the timeline historically. What were different schools of knowledge? You talked about Masonry. You talked about other ones that I can't even remember to pronounce right now. But, like, let's just talk about the different schools of knowledge.
Yeah, so you had, you know, obviously you had Freemasons. You could think about the upper and lower mystery schools. They were all eventually unified in the Nile Valley. So if you look at Africa, like, some people say that you're actually supposed to flip it upside down.
Yeah, I heard that.
From what's actually listed on the map. And so, like, the lower part of the Nile is actually the upper Nile, and the upper part of the Nile is actually the lower Nile. So when you talk about those two different mystery schools, that was what I was talking about earlier with the Egyptian priesthood and those, the curriculum that they had to go to. What's the guy's name? George James breaks that down in Stolen Legacy, which I'll link all that stuff. So yeah, he talks about the Egyptian mystery school curriculum as far as, like, the things that they had to learn. I ran through some of that earlier. So yeah, you had, and that was, like, where the unification of the crown came from. So you had an upper crown and you had a lower crown. And when you had both crowns, that means that you had learned knowledge from both schools. And so now the crown's unified. So now you have the balance of the lower and the upper, or, you know, the physical and the mental self, the masculine and the feminine. So again, that's going back to as above, so below. Like, you need both of those things in order to have a complete breadth and a complete scope of knowledge. So you had those schools, and even, like, a lot of the tribes and a lot of the, like, the Moors knew about that stuff. So you had that knowledge coming from those schools, coming from West Africa, some of it's coming from America, and some of it's just spreading from Africa in general over into the West, because, like I said, we were already here. So as far as, like, the schools go, there weren't a lot of different schools of thought as far as, like, buildings, because as far as, like, splintering and branching, because they basically all taught the same things. Like, all these people to be initiated into these mystery schools, again, you had to have the base of the seven liberal arts, and from there you learn the 42 books of Hermes. Even when we talk about Jesus, so, there was a discussion on the timeline. I think Ali started it. Shout out to Bi-Pi, Ali Shakur. He started the discussion about Jesus not being a Jew. Now, that is 1,000% true. And I actually have this book called The World's 16 Crucified Saviors, or Christ Before Christianity. Now, again, Jesus was not a Jew. All right? Jesus was an Essene. And Essenes, they say on Wikipedia that the Essenes were a sect of Judaism. That's bullshit. They were not fucking Jews. Jesus was an Essene, all right? And that group was taught in the Egyptian mystery schools too. They soaked up a lot of that knowledge too. So here are some parallels between the life of Christ and, like, Essene culture. So there's one passage where there's a guy named Philo, P-H-I-L-O, was talking about, so it says, Philo says, it is our first duty to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what the Essene said. So if you look at the scripture parallel, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else shall be added. And that's Matt verse 33 and Luke 12 verse 31, all right? And the Essenes came before Christ now. There's also another scripture that says, for whoever of Christ's disciples were owners of estates or houses sold them and brought the price thereof and laid them at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made as everyone had needed. So Philo relates things exactly similar of the Essenes. Now, this is the scripture parallel. They neither buy nor sell among themselves, but give of what they have to, or give of what they have to him that wanted. All right. So, here's another one. Lay upon nothing on earth, but fix your mind solely on heaven. All right? Scripture parallel. Lay not up treasures on earth. Like, this stuff is coming directly from these people that learned from quote unquote Egyptian mystery schools and learned this knowledge from the Nile Valley. And it's just being remixed into other stuff. And you're just being separated further from the origin, you know? So again, as far as like the mystery schools go, there wasn't a lot as far as like there were different schools of thought. There were different books, but the knowledge itself was all the same. They had these schools erected just to teach the knowledge, but as far as like it being separated, I haven't seen anything that would suggest to me that there were just mystery schools everywhere. Because again, you had to be initiated into these things, and you had to first have a base. You first had to speak the language in order to be initiated. So, to know, but like now, all this knowledge is out here, and it's available for people to look at it on their own. Again, and if you empower yourself with learning some of these things, then again, you can't be victimized, and you can't be put in a position where you're crying to other people to help you, because you have the tools to help yourself. So as far as like knowledge of self goes, knowledge of self is important. And you know, I think if you want to learn about Egyptian mystery schools, I think the best place to start is with Freemasonry. They teach a lot of the virtues and the principles that you need to live a very righteous life, and they derive directly from these mystery schools. You have to learn to speak the language of the Medinetter, or you know, learn how to read hieroglyphs, which is something that I can't do. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know how to read hieroglyphs. I don't. But that is something that, as a language, if you really want to connect back to that and connect to some of the more esoteric things, you do have to learn how to read that language. So,
yeah, that was my next question. Like, how can people start researching themselves? Like, how can they start knowing themselves? With, you know, like you said, Freemasonry, what are some other resources that they can learn from?
All right. So, I have... So there are 5 books that I think are extremely important if you want to go to the knowledge of self aspect. I have kind of de-emphasized it for myself just because I think I've learned the things that are pertinent for me to get to a point where I am now. And there are other things that I'm focusing on right now because it's a little bit more immediate, you know what I'm saying, as far as like economic empowerment and things like that. But if you do want to learn about, you know, knowledge stuff, or you're just getting that very base introduction to it, I think there are 5 books that are absolutely necessary for you to read. So the first one is Miseducation of the Negro. You should just read that anyway. You should just have that book on deck. You need it. It should be read. It is required reading if you're listening to this podcast and you have not read it. You should read that book because it gives you the baseline for your deprogramming. So to get rid of the program that's in your head, you have to deprogram yourself. You got to use this book to do it. Second book I recommend is, Survival Strategies for Africans in America. This is by Tony Browder. It is part of the From the Browder File series. It's volume 2. And it is a bare bones survival strategy. And it talks about everything that's centered with African principles. So the Miseducation of the Negro wipes the hard drive clean, and then the Survival Strategies gives you the base. All right, that's where you're going from there, for as far as like all the things that you need to learn to reclaim the knowledge itself. Then once you want to start delving a little bit further into some of the comedic stuff, the book Freemasonry, Ancient Egypt, and Islamic Destiny is by Mustafa El Amin. It's a very short read, and it's super cheap. It's like $10. And it breaks down the science of the dollar bill, talks about Shriners, talks about Square in the Circle, Circumambulation, the Mystery of the Black Stone, Crossing the Burning Sands. It talks about all of that stuff. Anything that has anything to do with Freemasonry. It also talks about how the energy from Egypt and its power and its base was transmuted over to America, and how we see some of the same parallels today. Very, very good read. Very, very short read. Also, Stolen Legacy by George James. I think that's the guy's name. Yeah, George G.M. James. Stolen Legacy. You know, all the Greek philosophy and stuff. It's all stolen Egyptian stuff, and he breaks all of that down. why it's stolen, how it was stolen, and, you know, that's where the curriculum for the mystery schools comes from. Also, Now Valley Contributions to Civilization, that's also written by Tony Browder. So that one's a big one. That one is, you're basically taking a class, because this book is huge. Let's see how many pages this book is. This book is 292 pages, but it's not, it's like a textbook. And it also has a, it also has a companion workbook with it too. So if you buy the book, buy the workbook with it. And it's basically like you're taking a class on Egyptian or on Nile Valley Contribution. So yeah, those are the five books that I recommend if you want to really get into the knowledge of self aspect at the bare bones. You want to get the first two as a little bit of icing on the cake. You can check out on the World 16 Crucified Saviors. That's by Kiersey Graves. He's written by a white guy. But that doesn't mean that the knowledge in there isn't good. He talks about the parallels between things that happen in China, India, again with the Essenes. Talks about Christianity and how all those parallels kind of flow with each other, and how like Christianity is just like whitewashed stuff that happened previously. So I recommend those books if you want to look at the hardcore knowledge of self aspect.
Man, that's dope, man. Thank you. I'm definitely going to look at all five of those. I've heard of one of them, which was the first one, of course. But as we moving out, man, I got two last talking points I got for you. The first one is, what does this knowledge mean for the black community? Let's just say that we had a machine where everybody woke up with knowledge itself. Now, you alluded to the fact that there are people who are not, you know, who have deficiencies in melanin and stuff like that and are able to basically run the world. What does it mean if melanated people reclaim this knowledge itself and start actually practicing it in the world? Let's just say in the next 50 years, what would black America specifically look like to you?
Man, white supremacy would end overnight. Like, we're gonna keep it 210. This oppression and, you know, this mental bondage, and even some of the darker skinned people that are for real oppressed. You know, you talk about people from Ethiopia and Somalia, and even the Haitian refugees after the earthquake, and was it Hurricane Matthew? People that are for real oppressed. People that are for real doing bad right now. That shit will end overnight, because we're the ones that have all the resources. And this is what people don't understand, that they're that like we have a rift in the global African community because we squander our resources. We sit here and we party and we bullshit. I think it was you that said that like black folks party like they 200 years ahead, but they're actually 200 years behind. And it's like, if you knew like about yourself and you knew like the power that you had just to think a thought and manifest it, and just to prime your mind for abundance and it comes to you, like if you knew that you had that power, all of this woe is me oppression talk, that shit would end overnight. You wouldn't have to worry about people coming into your communities, destabilizing them, and then like gutting it, because you would protect yourself. Like, you would protect your own communities. You would build self-sustaining communities. And again, we had a knowledge of that. That's what Jim Crow taught us. Jim Crow essentially put black folks in a mind state where it's like, well, damn, all we got is us. So now, instead of being trapped in a school system where you're being taught by your enemy, good, bad, right, or wrong, you're now being taught by people that look like you, and they're teaching you things from their point of view, which is your point of view. Of course, if you're learning from somebody else and, you know, you don't look like them, they're going to give you their point of view, and it's going to be different. So that's why, you know, I think it was Malcolm X that said, you got to be a fool to send your kids to your open oppressor and think that they're going to teach you right knowledge. Like, it's just not going to happen. They don't have any incentive to do it. So we, again, recenter ourselves and begin to think about ourselves in a collective aspect. And we get off all the crab in the bucket mentality. That's so huge in our community that, you know, we pull each other down when there's somebody that looks like they're getting up. But it's like, if we all get up at the same time, there's no need to pull anybody else back down. Like, there's no need for it. There's no logical need for you to have to feel threatened by somebody else's success just because they look like you. That's that Willie Lynch mentality. Like, people got to get off that shit, and like, knowledge itself would reclaim that. And it's not even to the point where it's like we were all kings and queens, because, you know, we say that to make ourselves feel better, but that ain't true. Everybody didn't ascend from, didn't come from kings and queens. Like, that's, we just gotta keep it 100 about that. But there's no shame in being an astrologer. There's no shame in being a chemist. There's no shame in being a mason. There's no shame in being an economist. There's no shame in having a great military mind. Just because you weren't a king or a queen, or you didn't descend from kings and queens, didn't mean you didn't descend from something great. So once you realize that, you, when you get this knowledge of self, it comes with all of this knowledge of other things that you can use to better your community and build a self-sustaining, community, you're good to go.
Dope, man. I agree, man. You know, I talked about it with Time Millionaire, and I just feel like once we start tapping into our own greatness, man, our communities will literally surpass every other community that we made rich.
Dude, and they know that. They know that. And that's what the incentive is to keep the stuff away from you, because they know they can't operate on the level that you do. And they know that, you know, that thing that nobody wants to talk about is the thing that sets everybody apart.
Facts. So, last one, man. What are some parting gems you want to leave with the people? Something that they got to know, man. It's burning in your spirit. Something that they, before, you know what I'm saying, you get off this podcast, they got to know this about, you know what I'm saying, from you, man.
That's a good question. I think that your truth is yours, and you come to it on your own time. I also think that the world isn't going to wait for you. So that's something that you have to balance. You have to put yourself in a mind frame that will always allow you to receive new information. And whether or not it's something that strikes a chord with you immediately or down the line, at least put yourself in a position to receive it. Because we're in a culture now where we're controlled by buzzwords. And we hear certain buzzwords, and we're just like, fuck this, I'm not listening to it. And it's just like, okay, but if you stop and defuse your emotion as soon as you hear the buzzword, you might catch a gem or two from somewhere you weren't expecting. I'll give you an example. So this year, I committed to reading or listening to at least one thing per day that I didn't agree with. And when I did that, like, my mind just opened up, because there might be some people out here that say some truly vile, disgusting shit, right? I'm not going to say that doesn't happen, but in every lie, there's a little bit of truth. And if you put yourself in a situation where you can get through all of the things that might emotionally charge you, or things that might infuriate you, or things that, you know, you haven't heard before that, you know, elicit any kind of emotional response, if you diffuse that emotion as soon as it comes up and you begin to listen to the rest of the argument, you're going to learn so much stuff that you didn't know before. And it's also going to put you in a mindset that also gets rid of the victim mindset, because a lot of the victim mindset is charged on emotion. If you really sit down and think about it, people think that they're oppressed by certain things as soon as they hear certain words. Or as soon as, you know, it's just like Donald Trump. I said the other day, I was like, man, if Donald Trump went into Starbucks and ordered a peanut butter jelly sandwich, we wouldn't hear the fucking end of it. And it's just like, these things have been charged with so much emotion, it's to keep you from looking at the deeper meaning and keep you from gaining those gems that you can really get from everywhere. There are going to be some people that you don't like that say some real shit. That happens every single day. And the only person that's missing out on the information by tuning out the message is you. So I say, have an open mind, but have an open mind to the point where it's not impacting or threatening your well-being. Now, if somebody is, you know, oh, I'm gonna shoot you, okay, all right, you probably want to duck and cover, you know what I'm saying? But if there's something offensive, but it's not hurting you, defuse your emotion and just listen to it. At the end of the day, it might be bullshit. But I will also say truth stands up to scrutiny. So you can ask as many questions or you can listen to as many things as you want to, but your brain is always going to self-correct to ask the correct questions to see if this is true or not. And again, truth always stands up to scrutiny. Do not forget that. Listen to everything, question everything, and you will get to the truth.
Man, thank you so much, bro. This was awesome, man. You really blessed my life with this, and if you blessed my life, I know you definitely blessed the listeners, man. And just thank you, man. I'm forever grateful for this conversation, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm glad to be here.
I'm sorry, this is my shit. They accent it like the UK. Turn the Ude, Lupe, the Pepe, Le Pew spray. Fragrantly fragrant and they can't escape it. My perfume pursued them everywhere that they went. You don't wanna lonely, my cologne alone. It's a little too strong for you to be putting on. Trust me, I say this justly. I went from musty to musky and y'all can't mush me. Yeah, that was episode 19. Knowledge of Self. With my man Tanai, man. I hope you guys learned something. I know you guys learned something. You can't tell me you ain't learned something in this episode, B. This is what I bring. You already know that. So I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. You feel me? Make sure you subscribe and review the Intelligent Rebel Squadcast. It's very, very dope. Goes a long, long way. Final thoughts. Honestly, yo, if we have not learned anything from this episode, I know we've learned that first and foremost, we need to know who we are. At the end of the day, our ancestors lost a lot of their African identity, a lot of their indigenous identity, a lot of their customs, a lot of their culture, period. You feel me? And it is time for us to bring it back and modernize it. We don't have to live in the old days. We don't have to live like we are a bunch of old monks. We can use this stuff with drones, with cell phones, with all of the stuff that we have going on in the 21st century. But we just have to be able to be accountable and responsible for those things. And we can't do that by being victims. I said in a song one time, living like kings and queens can happen if you a coward. And when you plotting your scheme, make sure it's something you're proud of. And I'm serious about that. For real, yo. We have people out here who are trying to disseminate knowledge, build businesses, build industries, and we need to be behind them. We need to be doing better. And that's all coincided with us knowing ourselves. All of us coming together for the greater good of everybody else. That's knowledge of self. But you got to love yourself. You got to know yourself first in order for that to happen. So, you know what I'm saying? We just got to do better. And we just need to have more conversations like we're having on this podcast. Whether it be knowledge itself, whether it be economics, whether it be relationships and love, whether it be the nuclear family, all of these things that we're touching on this podcast are conversations that I want you guys to start having in your communities and in your households. So thank you guys again for listening. I really appreciate it. Thank you to the homie Tanai, man. You're a blessing, bro. And as always, man, stay intelligent and stay rebellious. Squad.
You want the flavor, ma? Hey, I gotcha. You want the realness? Well, I gotcha. I know you're sick of them niggas, big car and watcha. Either they pimps or they max or they mobsters. You want the real shit? Oh, I gotcha. You see my niggas here? You know we proper. You know we do it right, right. You know we do it.
Yes, sir.
C-A-N-E-I, and he just replaced the C with the T, and then that's what they named me. So, and it's, yo, and the shit blew me because I went to a store one day and I just saw this shit and like the regular wine. I'm like, damn, you couldn't even name me like a good wine. Like, that's some shit you find in Kroger. Like, what is this? I'm hot. I'm tight about this. Oh, shit. So yeah, that's where it comes from.
All right, man. Thank you again, man. I gotta edit this episode, man.